You may have seen Charlie Sykes' op-ed in this past Sunday's New York Times. He writes, President Trump can repeat falsehoods, say about 3 million people voting illegally, because right-wing media will provide air cover. Charlie was once a member, a popular conservative Wisconsin radio host, but he began to pull out of formation. And just before the Wisconsin primary, he had a blistering interview with then-candidate Donald Trump, excoriating him for, among other things, retweeting an unflattering photo of Ted Cruz's wife.
Is this your standard, that if a supporter of another candidate, not the candidate himself, does something despicable, that it's okay for you, personally, a candidate for president of the United States, to behave in that same way? I mean, I expect that from a 12-year-old bully on the playground, not somebody who wants the office held by Abraham Lincoln.
I did a retweet, and it was a retweet by somebody else because I have a lot of support.
Well, Trump won. Sykes lost many of his listeners and left his show, questioning his own role in creating an alternative facts world. Now a conservative MSNBC commentator, he's in a weird purgatory. The right calls him traitor. Left doesn't yet trust him. Charlie Sykes, welcome.
I like that phrase, weird purgatory.
Yes.
Hadn't thought of that.
Well, is that how it feels?
It does, actually. I knew that independent conservatives were going to be in the wilderness after this election. What I didn't realize was that it was going to be such a tiny, tiny island.
Well, do you think your piece in the Times was even seen by the people that you were aiming at? You say the right has been conditioned for decades not to read or trust mainstream media.
And I should, you know, start off by saying that, you know, much of the criticism of the mainstream media was valid. I was surprised to realize that over time, that criticism had been so effective that it had the effect of delegitimizing, completely discrediting the mainstream media and any sort of independent fact-checking. And I have to kind of do a mea culpa and look back on all of that and go, okay, so to what extent did we actually soften up the electorate for what we're experiencing now?
Well, and you say you played a role, you've said this for a while
yes.
now, in this conditioning of people on the right by hammering mainstream media for bias or for double standards. Bias and double standards people should be hammered for. But what else do you think you did that you now look back on? You are a powerful radio host, as others have said, could make or break careers in Wisconsin.
I was very excited back in the 1990s to realize that we were part of creating an alternative media, that we were moving from a period where a handful of elite media titans sitting in perhaps Manhattan would decide what people would see and what they would talk about. Now, suddenly, you had this proliferation of different voices. And so I really did promote this alternative media, not perhaps aware that it was going to also then at some point morph into an alternative reality silo. I guess I was always assuming that we would be creating an audience that would be savvy and certainly be factually based. What happened, of course, was that we created this echo chamber that has been now exploited by politicians.
But did you ever do more than that? I've listened to a lot of radio all across the dial. There was a right-wing host here in the Boston area who used to talk about killing Muslims, ban immigrants. And then one would call in and say, well, you know, I'm a child of immigrants, but I really like your show. And the host would say, oh, I don't mean you. And these are dog whistles. Did you ever use the dog whistles?
Well, I'm not going to claim innocence, but I do think we had a different sort of talk radio. And I think that's what Donald Trump came up against here in Wisconsin. And mm-hmm. he lost very badly in the primary. But as I've learned over the last year, though, all of the incentives in the conservative media have become to become more extreme, to become more reckless. I perhaps was assuming that everybody was pretty much Wisconsin nice like we were, not realizing, you know, all of the years of pounding and pounding and indulgence of crackpot conspiracy theories, how that had really become part and parcel of the conservative movement. I mean, you always knew that there was, you know, the crazy uncle or the drunk at the end of the bar, the birthers and everything. Then you'd roll your eyes and then you just sort of assume that rational voices would prevail. And unfortunately, in the end, they did not.
Well, you call it Wisconsin nice, as you well know. Some of your critics did not feel that way. I'm looking at Jim McGigan. I don't know if that's how it's pronounced, a Watchdog Milwaukee right. blog. Here's the headline of one of his pieces. Charlie Sykes, adulterer, coward, vindictive Republican shill. And this is about you left one marriage for another. But he felt that that was hypocritical of you because you'd used your show to condemn others.
Well, Jim McGuigan was a former corrupt local official who lost his position during a pension scandal and who was exposed by programs like mine. There's this sort of over-the-top personal rhetoric that I think push people into these different bubbles. This is the kind of politics of personal destruction that I think feeds into the become more extreme, become more radical.
Well, but you have claimed responsibility, if not maybe for that language, for not seeing things as clearly as you're maybe seeing them in hindsight now, which is,
yes,
is remarkable to watch somebody saying, well, wait a second. And for instance, there were a lot of accusations that Scott Walker's success in Wisconsin, the governor there, had to do with, you know, a hostile racial environment. And there was a 2014 New Republic piece which said that people like you played a role in that hostile environment. And you're quoted as saying in Politico, you know, I hated hearing that, but maybe I have to go back and see if I was.
Yeah, you know, this is one of the things that I'm trying to do this year is to go back and ask that question, you know, engage in kind of that introspection. As much as we didn't like the criticism, was any of it valid? We lived in an environment where people were crying wolf all the time. You know, to be a conservative in America was to spend the last 20 years on a routine basis being called, you know, that you're a racist, you're bigoted, you're stupid. If you're for lower taxes, it's because you're a racist. Or if you're in favor of school choice, it's because you're a racist. Here's the problem. When the real thing then finally comes along, the critics have fired all of their ammunition. They are out of rhetoric to describe the real thing.
You mean Donald Trump?
Yes, and many of the people that he enabled, the alt-right in particular.
Well, but what about your fellow at that time right-wing conservative talk show hosts who weren't calling Donald Trump on even, you know, saying that John McCain was a coward for being shot out of the sky? Did you feel kind of naked out there when you started calling out things that you were hearing on the campaign trail, but also on your radio show when you were getting some of these calls from listeners?
I really did get the sense that you know, I was losing some of the audience.
What was it like when some of your listeners did start calling in with some of this seething racism? And
it was somewhat shocking. And I know that some people will think that it's naive that I was shocked. I one time a woman called up and she was endorsing a complete, not a ban on Muslims, but a deportation of Muslims. And she was comparing them to rabid dogs. And I will admit that I was kind of speechless. You know, do we really know who our people are? Do we really understand what our movement was about? That was depressing, and it was disillusioning.
Well, you know, there are some people who do think it's naive or worse. You know, the Wisconsin Democratic chair, Mike Tate, compares you to a guy who slowly fed poison to the dog, and then when the dog dies, says, "How did this happen? Did you really not know that there was a host in Boston who was saying, kill all Muslims, that this was happening?"
Did I know that there were the voices out there? Yes, but I thought they were on the fringes. And I do regret, you know, the birthers, you know, the conspiracy theorists, you know, the people.
Because you were not one of them. You were not one of them.
No, no, I never. And in fact, I spent years trying to push back on the fake stuff. This is junk. This is crap. That became harder and harder and harder. They would not accept any source outside of the conservative media ecosystem.
How big is this, Charlie Sykes? In your op-ed this week, you say that the right-wing media is going to provide cover for the president going forward. Where does that ultimately lead, maybe even the right-wing media?
Well, my short answer is I think that everything is going to get worse. I had expected Donald Trump would not be elected and that as a result there would be this reckoning where we would actually have to confront what had happened to the conservative media, the irresponsible media, you know, the sites like InfoWars and Breitbart and Drudge and what Rush Limbaugh had done to conservatism, and that there would be some sort of a sorting out. Instead, as a result of the election, all of those elements have been empowered.
Do you think you're completely alone? I'm thinking of Glenn Beck, who's also come forward with the same concerns and some of the same mea culpas about his role in what happened.
I certainly sympathize with that moment where you step back and you go, okay, you know, the baby alligator that we were growing in the bathtub grew up. There are some people for whom there's no mea culpa that I can say, but I think you have to start. Because I think one of the things that's the hardest thing in American politics is to step back and go, you know what? I was wrong about that.
Yeah. Do you worry about getting played by the mainstream media, people will be thrilled to put up the anti-Trump conservative talk show host.
Oh, I completely understand. There's a phrase the conservatives used for years called the strange new respect, that if a conservative, when he became more liberal, got strange new respect, and I certainly understand. But I will tell you this. I actually find it quite liberating to not have to be inside one ideological bubble. There's this tremendous pressure to conform, being able to step back and have an independent point of view and say, okay, I agree with this, but I don't agree with this, as opposed to feeling that I have to take one for the team. I have to defend the indefensible.
You might still be on MSNBC, but be pro-life?
Well, I am on MSNBC and I am pro-life.
Right, right. Yeah. Charlie Sykes. Charlie, thank you.
Thank you.
And by the way, Charlie is also part of a new show from WNYC and Minnesota Public Radio. It's called The Indivisibles. For more, go to hearnow.org. You're listening to Here Now.